Welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. And, oh, it's, you know, a pastor used to always say it's a working horse and cattle ranch, and it still is. It was in pastor's day, and we continue on in that tradition. I'll talk to you a little bit about that tonight, I hope. Got to move some bulls today, and that's a little different than moving steers, I can tell you that. But, hey, it's a beautiful day. Still some, not quite sunshine, but it's still bright outside this August 24th, 2017. And hope you're tuning in. We'll have the phone lines open tonight. Let me get the buttons pushed over there. There we go. If you want to call in, if you have a question or a comment, and or if you just want to talk. And we'll do our best to do that. Ooh, excuse me. Just literally walked right in out of the pasture, so forgive me, got a little dry mouth, but I got a water bottle here, so we'll see if we can get through the night. Well, let's go to our Heavenly Father before we do anything else tonight on this broadcast. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for being the living God, Lord, that calls us out of darkness. Lord, thank you for being the living God that gives prophecy, that answers prayers, that protects and blesses your people. Thank you, God, for never forgetting your people. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father, that when we read of your mercy and your grace, Lord, that in your word, that, Father, it endureth forever, that it is not over with, Lord. It did not end with the writing of the Bible, and, Lord, it does not end today. And we thank you. Father, thank you for the safety and travel you've afforded us and others, as many people have traveled this week, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the solar eclipse that happened this week, Lord. We stand in awe when we look at things like that, Lord. And we see that it is your handiwork. We know, Lord, that it is your order that puts these things in place. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you. Father, I ask you to be with me tonight to guide and direct me, my thoughts and my words. That you would give me the things to say, Lord, the thoughts to think, the words to say, Lord, that they would be pleasing to you and edifying to your people. To encourage them to love and good deeds, Lord, and to praise your holy name and to sing your praises in this broadcast. And we thank you, Lord, we do. Be with us, guide us, and Lord, I pray your blessings on all out there that are yours. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll get that dust out of my mouth before the broadcast is over. Excuse me. Folks, that's live radio, and again, it is live this August 24th, 2017, and we are coming to you from the Radio Ranch. Just came in, you know, it's time we're moving bulls. We kept our bulls up just in another pasture, kind of separated from the cows. because we will start breeding now, and that'll give us a, you know, a May, June, maybe even early July calving season, but ideally you know, June and July, and that's what we kind of aim for. And so we'll see. We'll see how that goes, but had to trailer a few of them over. And no, we didn't saddle up and ride out across the prairie on horseback to do a cattle drive. But we sure moved them up. And you know, that's our pastor used to talk about that, the difference, you know, in moving bulls and in moving steers or cows. And you still kind of push them, but, you know, the bulls, they tend to push back. And they're a little bigger. They're a little ornerier, you might say. They kind of do what they want to do. So you just kind of work with them on that. And but they we got them trailered up and moved over and in time. Got one more little trailer load of some cows to move after the program, but we can do that. So, well, I guess the big thing this week was the eclipse on Monday. And so I'll put that out there. Did you get to to take a look at it? I hope you did. We weren't in totality here. We were a couple hours north. So Monday, I'd loaded the children and the family up in the van, and we drove a couple hours north up into the totality area. And so we got to see the full solar eclipse. And about the last hour of our drive was during the partial, so we had the little sunglasses, and the children were watching it, and they were oohing and aahing. And so we got up and parked about 15 minutes before we saw the total eclipse. And it was very impressive. I was impressed. I was. It was awesome. It's what it was. Even looking with the glasses, you could see the coloring in the in, you know, of the day was changing as the it was getting dusky, as it was getting darker, and like it is now, because the sun's behind the mountains now. But as that eclipse approached, and as it got to there was only a sliver of the sun that was still visible, but you still could not look upon it with the naked eye. You had to have those glasses, because that sun, that it is, there's so much to our sun. It is so bright. It is so powerful. It is it is so magnificent there in the sky, that sun and the light that it gives, that even at, I mean, and I couldn't tell, but 98-99% blocked, that sun, that light was still coming through, and it was still, you could not look at it. And it reminded me of course, of our God. Because, and his son, Jesus Christ, that just a sliver, just a tiny bit, was magnificent. And that is how our Lord and Savior is. It truly is. But we all had our glasses, made sure everybody kept them on, and so we had about a minute and a half of totality, maybe almost 2 minutes, of total eclipse. The moon was just beautiful as it eclipsed the sun, and then of course you could see some of the aura. I don't know all the fancy names for it, but the offshoots from the sun, and the sun's not just that orb like the moon is. The moon is just the moon. But the sun is something different. And you could see, being that the way it was blocked, you could see the auras and the offshoots of the sun. And it was dark. It dropped about 20 degrees almost immediately when that happened. And as we looked around, everybody was oohing and aahing. And it was an event. And so I just wanted to take a minute and share it with you. And, you know, we've got the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913, if you want to call in, and if you have a comment about the eclipse. And it also reminded me, and I've spoken with our children and with others about how this solar eclipse, it proves the order of God, and it proves that God is a God of order, that he put this heavenly celestial stars and the sun and the moon and all these things in place, and not just that he created them, but he put them in motion. He put them in motion that they don't crash into each other, that they are just far enough apart. Like the Earth with the moon and the sun, we are, and the angle that we're at, what is it, 23.5 degrees, and that it's just right. It's just right. And scientists have calculated if it was 5 degrees, you know, either way, it would be almost unlivable, this planet. And being that the sun is 400 times larger than the moon, and it's 400 times further away from us, something like that. But it just, I think when we see these things, it proves that our God is a God of order. And if he is a God of order in the heavenlies, then he wants his creation here to be in order, and there is an order to it. When we think about how man can calculate this, and I just went on the internet early Monday morning to get the times, you know, what time the partial eclipse started for here, and then what time it was at totality, and so that I knew how far I needed to drive, and so it is by the grace of God that man has been able to calculate that out, that man with computers and models has been able to monitor the heavens and to see the orbits that the planets take, and to see what stars are where in different times and seasons of the year. And then they've been able to make computers and model that out to see where they were and what the stars were 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, and what they'll be 100 years from now and 1,000 years from now, and the stars and the eclipses and that type of thing. And it is pretty neat that we've been able to do that. Not me, but our people, that we've been able to figure those things out and show. But the only reason that we've been able to do that is because God is a God of order. And God is the God that puts the the stars on their path, and he puts the moon on its path, and he puts this planet on its path, and he has the sun and the solar system and everything. It's all in order. Here we are coming up at the last month of summer, and then in September, I guess, we have another 91st day that'll change the seasons, and then October, November, December again for fall. But we're still in summer here, and we know, because God is a God of order, that fall comes after summer, and we can prepare for that. His people can prepare for that, and then of course winter, and then spring will be around the corner from that. I can tell you, I'm not ready for winter. I'm not ready for fall, but we have had a beautiful summer here. Hope you have as well. So, hope you enjoyed the eclipse. Hope you did get to see part of it, or all of it, if you got to. There is another eclipse that is scheduled for 7 years later. If you got our Volume 5 newsletter magazine, our Dragon Slayer, it was entitled Signs. And one of the articles in that was Signs. And that comes from Genesis, right? The very beginning. Genesis 1:14 says, "Then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." And so, you know, our God created the stars and the moon and the sun and the expanse of heaven, and his word says he did that for signs. And an eclipse that we just had made a big shadow across the country. Have another one coming 7 years later that's going to make a big X in the country. And then also coming up in September, let me flip the page. I've got that newsletter here. If you have Volume 5, I encourage you to take a look at it. It's not just the solar eclipse that has already occurred, but there's also the stars are lining up, you might say. and they're retelling the story of the birth of Christ. How about that? And so we give you a little outline of that in this article. So I encourage you, take a look. If you don't have it, hey, we'll be glad to send it to you. Volume 5, newsletter entitled Signs. And I have been down at the print shop printing Volume 6. We're getting ready. Don't know if we'll get it finished printed tomorrow, but depends on how the printer runs. Had to get the tech out today and working on the printers. But we'll get that thing in the mail sometime next week, the good Lord willing. And it is a great newsletter. Got an article in there from the Ramrod on the courts of heaven. And sure opened up my eyes. Gave me some new insight into just what that is. The courts of heaven. And it's right out of the Bible. It's scriptural, but we don't see it a whole lot. We don't talk about those things a whole lot, but there they are. So I encourage you, take a look. If you don't get our Dragon Slayer newsletter, we send it out free of charge, and we'd be glad to send you one, and we would accept an offering for it, but we're not going to require it. And our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And we're also on the internet at scripturesforamerica.org is our website. And you can click on there and request a newsletter or send a prayer request or send us an email. And also, you can just send us an email here at preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org. And so quite a bit, not just that article in the newsletter. We've got a book sale going on. We've got a, you know, God has a prosperity plan. And there's so much out there, everything that is pure and holy and true that we find in the scriptures, we find that the enemy has perverted. Healing is still for today. Oh, the enemy's done their best to try to pervert it. The Holy Spirit is still for today. The enemy has done their very best to try to pervert it. Tithing is still a promise. The benefits of tithing for those that tithe is still the law, the promise that's there today. But the enemy has done such a good job of perverting it. Well, God's plan for prosperity is the same way. And this is basically five CDs that the pastor has taught on tithing, and on the kingdom, and on basic economic principles. And so if you'd like them, we have them available. So just take a look at the newsletter. There's a good bit in there. Have some very interesting mailbag today, everywhere from the Philippines to Texas to Michigan and Canada. So again, that's the Dragon Slayer newsletter. If you'd like to get it, write to us, send us an email, a smoke signal, drop us a line somehow, and with your address, and we'll do that. We'll get that out. We'll get that out to you. Well, I'm going to grab another sip of water here, and let's see if we can have a song. I'll be right back.
Nothing that can't be done by me and God. Ain't nobody gonna come between me and God. One day we'll live together where the angels trod, me and God. Early in the morning talking it over, me and God. At night talking it over, me and God. You could say we're like two peas in a pod, me and God. He's my Father, and the rod, we're a team.
You know, I don't know about you, but I like that song. And when you have music like that that you're playing and that your children listen to time and time again, and then when you hear your children singing that, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, 15-year-olds, that they realize that they are a team, that they are a team with God. And we let them know, and they know that it's not that God needs us, but that we need Him. Whether we're 7 or 17 or 57 or 107, that we do. And sometimes it's good for us just to hear those kind of things and to remember. You hear old Doc singing in there that I am weak and He is strong. See, that's when we put that in the right perspective, that's acknowledging. That's praising God. That's acknowledging that to God. We read when you read the Psalms, you see David speaking of that all the time, of how and we truly are. We are weak. We are helpless without Him. Oh, we think we've got it figured out. We think we can do this with companies and corporations. And, oh, no, we go to the gym and we did all this. No. It's only by His grace. And the next line there, He forgives me when I'm wrong. And that is what our Heavenly Father does. When we ask for it, when we do what He tells us to do. Well, again, phone lines are open tonight. If you want to give a call, 307-745-5913. Not really going to talk about current events tonight because, I tell you, I just get discouraged looking at the news, even just a little bit on the internet. It's all bad news, and it just gets worse and worse. And so I'm just going to take a little time off of current events, but do want to talk to you about an event that or a book of the Bible. Our Bible reading plan yesterday and today is the book of Daniel, and there is, as there is in all of the Bible, there's quite a bit in the book of Daniel. You know, Daniel was written, the period that it is the Babylonian captivity. 500 years before Christ. And there is so much that is in the book of Daniel. We see Christ in the book of Daniel. Like when the sun and moon are darkened, amen. We see that in the book of Daniel. Brother Lynn, thanks for the text. We sure see that. And you know, the Daniel diet is there. It starts out, the Daniel diet that we read of in Daniel 1, verse 12. He says, please test your servants for 10 days, and let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink, and then let our appearance be observed. And that's just a real quick rundown on it. Old dietitians have gone all crazy. But, you know, if you're not feeling well, if you're not feeling well physically, maybe you're getting a little big around the belly, or you just don't have the energy that you used to have, you know, you could be like Daniel and just eat vegetables and water, and you'll live on that for a long time. But even if you just do it for a little while, you do it maybe for a day or for a week, don't have to not eat, But you can take this. It's certainly a secondary teaching from the book of Daniel. But you see his diet right there. And then verse 15 says, at the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better and they were fatter than all the youths who'd been eating the king's choice food. Now, these are youths, okay? But it certainly applies to us older folks as well. And so there's a little secondary teaching right there in the book of Daniel. And when you read through it, what a story that it is. You know, just a quick summary. Got a few verses to read, but I wanted to talk about that tonight. And if, as long as nobody else is calling in, talk about anything else, that's what we'll talk about. But the book of Daniel tells of Daniel and then the three others, right? To be known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're taken from their home. They're captive, taken from their home in captivity from their home in Jerusalem to serve the king of Babylon. When the Babylonians came in and they recognized the beauty in our people. They recognized the intelligence in our people. And you know, so they got jobs, you might say. And remember, Daniel was given a God-given ability to interpret dreams, and that kind of gets him in good with King Nebuchadnezzar. And he has the vision of the huge statue, and which Daniel says represents what? The existing and future kingdoms. Now you can bet your boots that Daniel didn't make a lot of friends. You know, here's this foreigner that's doing right with the king, and so you know that nobody in the king's court cared for that. And we sure see that today. We sure see that the people that try to and that do right, oh, well, they're not cared for today. Even if it's in business, somebody, you know, what do you get called, a Dudley Do Right? You know, if you're not going to steal from the company like everybody else does, and or you're not going to lie and cheat on your taxes like everybody else does, or you're not going to go out drinking with the boys after work like everybody else does, and you're persecuted for it. Well, Daniel was in this Babylonian captivity. And we are today because we are once again in a captivity. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Boy, they got into trouble when they disobeyed the order to bow before the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. And then it wasn't just, a fine. No. And you see that this rule and this law was really set up for them, when you read between the lines, just like it was with Daniel. And I mention that because it sure seems that we are in that once again today, that laws have been set up, rules, and that just target specifically what would normally be just Christian behavior. Anyway, we're talking about the book of Daniel here. As punishment, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown into the fiery furnace. But that's not the end, is it? No, that is where we see Jesus Christ. Some books talk about, you when you read about it, well, they were, well, let's read it. Let's just flip right over there. And it was actually in yesterday's reading of in the Bible reading plan, but yesterday and today cover the book of Daniel, and so you can take a look at it in Daniel 3. It's a good place to look. And if you have some New Testament Christians, you can tell them that even the Old Testament here in Daniel 3 speaks of Christ. And so we pick it up in verse 23. It says, "But these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded and stood up in haste. And so it's easy to read that, but you need to read. Take the time. I'm not going to have time tonight, but read. Start at least back at all of it needs to be read. But read that the king brought these young men before him and says, like up here in verse 14, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I've set up?" Now, if you're ready, when all this happens, you just do that. You need to fall down and you need to worship. But if you don't, you'll be cast in the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. And he says, "And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands?" This would be like the president telling you this, or the head of the SWAT team, right? But Nebuchadnezzar then was the president, so to speak. "What God can deliver you out of my hands?" Oh, the arrogance. But verse 16, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." And you know, folks, we need to be that way. We need to be that way. The King James says, "Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king." And you know, those should be, and they are, encouraging words for each and every one of us. Not just our youth, but each and every one of us today. Because we may be faced with the fiery furnace. And we need to know. We need to know that we can answer like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. See, they praised God. They praised God, and they knew the commandments. They knew that even though they were in captivity, they weren't to bow down. They weren't to worship other gods, other idols. Certainly not the false idols of the Babylonians. And they didn't. So, verse 24, Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded, and he stood up in haste, and he said to his high officials, "Was it not three men we cast into the midst of the fire?" They replied to the king, "Certainly, O king." See, now they're on the ends. They're back in good graces, they think, with the king. "Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, we threw three of them. We bound them up tight. Threw them in." Don't you remember the men that threw them in? They burned up. That furnace is so hot. And Nebuchadnezzar said, "Look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." See, that is the only way that Nebuchadnezzar could describe Jesus Christ, because Nebuchadnezzar did not know Jesus Christ. And the best description he could come up with was that he looks like a son of the gods. That was the closest thing in Nebuchadnezzar's mind that he could relate to, that he could describe the Son of God. He goes on, "Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of blazing fire, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here." It says, "They gathered around and saw in regard to these men that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor was the hair of their head singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire even come upon them." Daniel 4, verse 3, I think Ralph read this last night on the Hope is Alive program, but here it is. It says, "How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders." We got to see one of those signs last week, but you know, sometimes God sends these types of signs on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's today. Now, whether you believe them or not, that's up to you. That's up to you. But he still sends his signs. He still sends his signs. How many times, we've talked about it before, but how many times are we saved from certain disaster? How many times are we saved from certain death? How many times are we delivered, either not even in an accident that should have been, or John gave a great testimony and talked about it, how two of his children were in an auto accident earlier this year. Totaled his truck, big beefy four-door GMC 2500 monster, just totaled it out. And even how the EMTs and how the sheriffs pulled John and his wife apart later and said what a miracle it was that they, who get called on those types of wrecks all the time, how they saw it and they thought it should have been a fatality. And that they had seen wrecks just like that before that had been fatalities. But praise God, these children of God came out of it unscratched. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that deliverance. Thank you, Jesus, for being in that truck with those children. I'm looking out the window. My son David just drove up. He's been out 17 days on forest fires. And he just drove up. The other boys are out there talking to him. I'll get out there and see him in a few minutes. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have delivered him, that you brought him home, Lord, from hundreds of miles of travel and 2 weeks on the fire line. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We believe it. We believe it. We know that you deliver. We activate his power when we praise him, when we thank him, folks. Back to Daniel. We've got a few minutes here. Back to Daniel. You remember the next king that comes along, Belshazzar. He throws the big party using the cups that were stolen from the temple in Jerusalem. And remember, he sees, that's where we get the phrase, seeing the writing on the wall, seeing something that's obvious. He's seeing the writing on the wall, which again Daniel interprets as the soon to come takeover of Babylon by the Medes. And then the Median king Darius keeps Daniel as an advisor. Because it was recognized, the wisdom, even as these other kings have moved on, the wisdom is recognized. But Daniel, you know, like Joseph, he ended up in a pit. He ended up in a lion's den, as Joseph ended up in a pit. Nowhere to go but up. Daniel ends up in a lion's den. But you know, once again, God protects his people. And you got to spend the night with those lions. And so, you know, sometimes, folks, if you end up facing some lions and you want their mouth shut, well, there's a story here. We see that that's happened before. And if you need that to happen again, well, you can pray to the same God. You can go to the same God, and the same power that closed the lion's mouth in the days of Daniel can close them again today. For his people, for his obedient people. And then remember those that had come against Daniel and had through trickery made sure that they passed a law, against that praying, can't do that. Does that sound familiar? Remember, that's what the scheme was. That's what the trickery was against Daniel. Oh, Daniel prayed. How's the song go? Morning, noon, and night. And Daniel prayed. Folks, are you praying morning, noon, and night? I hope you are. You know, we've got a morning prayer and a nighttime prayer that we keep on our phones. And I can tell you, I don't get them prayed every single day, but I sure try. I sure try. And so if you want those, we'll send them to you. I can text them to you. We can email them to you. I can print them out and put them in the mail to you. But and if you put them on a phone on your phone with a reminder, well, then it's a good reminder to pray morning and night. And hopefully you have. I remember our brother Chris talking about, you know, folks, put an alarm on your phone, because everybody's got a phone these days, it seems like. Put an alarm on your phone to go off at noon so you pray. See, that's what we are to be, a praying people. We read about this. That's why the Bible reading plan is so important. Not just to hear about it, but to do it. We may be facing lions, folks. We may be facing that fiery furnace. We need to know. We need to not fear. And we need to know that we serve a God who delivers. Then today's Bible reading plan, you know, that's kind of the stories are over, and then it gets into the prophetic visions and the 70 weeks of the end times. And boy, that's here, we've got 10 minutes left. Sure don't have time to get into the 70 weeks of Daniel, but a couple of scriptures that stand out. Daniel 6, verse 22 says, "My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me." See, it wasn't what Daniel did. It was what God did for Daniel. And Daniel recognized that. He acknowledged that. Do we do that when we are blessed? When God blesses us, when whether it's a saving from an accident or a blessing, whether it's maybe a blessing at work, or a blessing at school, or a blessing in our family, do we do as Daniel did and remember to praise God and to thank God and to give God the glory? Do we give God the credit? We need to. Before we get faced with the lions, if we can be faithful in the little things, then when the big things roll around, we've practiced and we can be faithful in them. I want you to take a look. I don't know if you have your Bibles open, but Daniel 9. And this is Daniel's prayer. And we'll start in verse 7. And let me take a look here. Verse 7. "Righteousness belongs to you, O Lord, but to us open shame, as it is this day." Righteousness belongs to you, O Lord. We are the ones that have fallen. It is not God's word that has changed. It is this country that has changed. It is the people in this country that have changed, not God's word. His righteousness is still there. It says, "You have driven them out because of their unfaithful deeds which they have committed against you." Open shame, verse 8. "Open shame belongs to us, O Lord, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you." And, O Heavenly Father, it is the same way today. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, for not obeying your voice. Verse 9, "O Lord, of your word in Daniel says, to the Lord our God belong compassion and forgiveness. For we have rebelled against him, nor have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his teachings which he set before us through his servants the prophets. Indeed, all Israel has transgressed your law and turned aside, not obeying your voice, so the curse has been poured out on us." Oh, Father, forgive us. Father, forgive us. Let us turn, Lord. Help us to turn from our wicked ways. We read of that in here. It is because of our sin. Folks, it is that way again today. Murder in the streets. We're being invaded from the east, from the south, from the north, from the west. Verse 19 says, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action for your own sake. O Lord, for your own sake. The King James says, I think it's what the King James said. Yeah, here it is. O my God, we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. It is because we serve a merciful God that we can come before him and be forgiven. And this, as we wrap up, we've just got a couple minutes left, but this prayer that Daniel prays for his people, I encourage you to read that. It's Daniel 9. We have to remember that this is after they've been sent into the Babylonian captivity and been in that for years. It's after he interpreted the dreams for the kings. It's after the fiery furnace. It's after the handwriting on the wall in the lion's den. It's after all that. And so even in that captivity, he prays. A couple more verses. Daniel 9, verse 20. Now while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, in behalf of the holy mountain of my God, while I was still speaking in prayer, see, then he gets a visit by Gabriel. That's what the word says. Folks, that's how we are to be today. We are to be praying and confessing our sin and confessing the sin of our people. And when we see sin in our people, in other members of the body of Christ, we have to call it out. We don't have to publish it, but we do have to present it to them. And we can do that with loving kindness and with a little salt in our speech, with the end goal, with the hope that they would see it for what it is and repent. Well, it's not the Republicans that are going to save us, folks. You know, I hope our president builds a wall, but it's not a wall on our southern border that's going to save us. I hope the economy does increase. I hope we do drill for more oil, and I hope we get it, and I hope it decreases our dependence on foreign oil, and I hope it puts people to work in this country. But that's not going to save us, because that's not what got us in the trouble in the first place. Today it is as it was in the days of Daniel, as it was in the days of the captivities. It is our sin that has got us there. And it is only when the American people, when the Christians in America recognize that very thing, that it is our sin that's got us here, but we do serve a merciful God. And we can repent. And folks, we need to. We need to. Well, guys, that's about all we have time for tonight, and that's about all the voice I've got. I'm still full of dust. Thank you for tuning in. Remember that we will be back Saturday morning. We encourage you to join us for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers Saturday morning. And we'll be here 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. on the East Coast. And we encourage you to join us. And hey, plan on joining us for church as well on Sunday morning. You know, today it's not too late. If you have unconfessed sin in your life, just confess it. That's the only thing that comes between us and our God. Just confess it. Our Father is quick to forgive. He is quick to forgive and quick and desirous of pouring out His blessings. But it's got to be His way, folks. It's got to be His way. Well, out of time. Thanks again for joining us. And remember, our email is preacher@sfaw.org. Our internet, we're on the internet at scriptures4america.org. Tons of material there you can read for free, no charge for that. And our physical address, if you want to write us, a lot of people still write us, and new people coming on the shortwave and coming on the ministry every day. Praise the Lord. Our address, if you want to write, is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Well, thanks again for tuning in, and may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless those of you that are His, bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you and His countenance be upon you, and His grace and mercy. And we thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.